sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up. Mirror, mirror, on the wall. Tell me, mirror, what is wrong? Can it be my De La clothes, or is it just my De La soul? What I do ain't make-believe. I'm going to repeat that. He says, what I do ain't make-believe. People say I sit and try, but when it comes to beating De La, it's just me, myself, and I. Say it now. Okay. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Mr. Le Grand Papa B. Before I continue with the show, I got to remind you returning listeners that this podcast is still protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul of the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on March 5th, 2023. What is it? 1:17 p.m. on a Sunday. And this episode is brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right, okay, now my shits are organized. Let's jump into this intro. Introduce myself, check. Let's start this shit, right? First, before I tell you about, I answer the question of what's up with the title of this episode. From Neo Soul to De La Soul, I want to take a quick second to send a shout out to Ren DMC, an apologetic shout out to Ren DMC. On the last episode, or was it the episode before it, the previous one to it? But on the theme of, when I was talking about the theme of, like diverse from Pac, where he says, I remember that Marvin Gaye had me feeling like black was the thing to be. Marvin Gaye, something like that. Yeah. And so the whole theme of February was all about that. And I had honorable mentions to several rappers. And the top of that list should have been an honorable mentions of rappers who had me feeling like black was the thing to be. Run DMC should have been on the top of that list. Because I still remember, I can't remember if I was 7 years old, if I was 11 years old, but I remember being young, and I remember for the first time hearing the verse, their track, Proud to Be Black. And it blew my mind because I remember, like, a new idea was formed in my mind, in my head. New connections were being established in my brain when I heard that statement. Because I remember prior to that time, the idea of being proud to be black never existed. Like, black was not something you could be proud of or you should be proud of. And first time hearing that, and just blew my fucking mind. And I went from shame to pride. I went to, like, it was Run DMC on that Raising Hell album. actually the whole album, but that track specifically is what set me on a path into being proud, being grateful of my black self. So shout out to Run DMC. It also set me on a journey into hip hop, into, you know, when we talk about your first love, yeah, it started like love at first sight. Yeah, that love at first sight was Run DMC, Raising Hell. So with that said, on that continuation on my journey into hip hop, the title of today's episode, From Neo Soul to De La Soul. What's up with that? The fuck was I thinking? In this case, I remember, you know what my favorite part of podcasting, specifically this podcast, it's after I hit publish, after it's posted on, I check it's on Twitter, after I make sure, you know, everything is copacetic, and I start the process all over again. See, there's a 4-step process to Shut Up Podcast. I haven't documented like a nerd. New episode, new recording, new episode, recording, editing, and publishing. And then like Jay-Z says, and then we gonna do it again. Yeah. So my favorite part is the new episode part, because it's equivalent to starting with a blank piece of page, a blank page. Like rappers, shout out to Ziam. She's got a track called My Feuille Blanche, and it's basically talking about how she's got a blank piece of paper, and she's got and how the writer's block is fucking with her to the point where she realizes that her life is pointless until she can put some shit on that piece of paper. Anyways, that's not what I'm not talking about her track, but I love when I'm at that blank piece of paper and I'm wondering, what will this new episode of Shut Up Podcast be about? And part of the process, it's usually influenced by the day, the minute, the second after I hit publish, you know, after the publishing phase is over and I'm in the new phase. And I kind of enjoy that moment of blank piece of paper. And I'm like, because in a way it, I don't believe this, it forces me. It's one of the few times, it's like I managed to convince myself to embrace the future, to embrace the unknown, to wonder, to have a sense of wonder. Like, usually you're supposed to feel that when you wake up in the morning. But, I remember that Monday morning after publishing on Sunday. I think I recorded late. And I woke up, and I was feeling a little, down. I don't know. Discouraged. Like, you know, ungrateful, whatever. Not enjoyed. Like, fuck, it's Monday. Fuck, gotta go to work. Fuck. And the first thing I did to like boost up the morale was like play some. I don't know what came first. Did iTunes suggest Neo Soul playlist or did I? It must have been iTunes. I think I saw the word Neo Soul and I started playing some Neo Soul, and it's soothed the spirit. Actually, So all this to say, I started out my week. Oh, shit. Hold on a second. No, my last episode was on Wednesday. I'm sorry. I'm confusing y'all. Yeah, on Wednesday. And woke up on Thursday wondering what the fuck. So it started up my weeks. The day after Wednesday, after publishing that last episode, I went from listening. My playlist was like dominated by Neo Soul, and which was March 1st. And then March 3rd. And then it not dragged on, it transitioned to De La Soul, right? Okay, I went kind of over time on the, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to take my time with this one, man. This is a long-ass intro. Yeah, so it went from Neo Soul to De La Soul. That was like usually I make a playlist. Usually these episodes are influenced by a playlist, and I track the tracks that influence these episodes, but I was doing a crappy job at doing just this week. But yeah. De La Soul, the reason why De La Soul hit the chart is influenced my playlist. It's because on March 3rd, it was De La Soul Day. What's De La Soul Day? Well, it's the day where the catalog dispute between De La Soul was finally resolved. There's a link in the show notes if you weren't familiar, but there was a catalog dispute with De La Soul that didn't allow them to publish their music on a streaming service, you know, without getting ripped off. And it's a sad fucking story because De La Soul been like, you know, we want our music online. Their music wasn't available to us fans. It's fucking disgusting. And then it's sad that one of the members had to die, wasn't around to enjoy seeing their catalog online. It is kind of sad, but you know, sorry, it is kind of sound, period. It is sad, period. I just find myself rejoicing, remembering De La Soul as a group, falling in love with the group again. I've been bumping their whole catalog, starting with 3 Feet High and Rising and ended with, it started with 3 Feet High and Rising, and then I got to De La Soul is Dead. What's that one called? Balloon Mind State. It might blow up, but it won't go pop. I get it. Stasis High, Art of Official Intelligence, Mosaic Funk, which I hadn't heard. I don't know why. AOI Bionics. That's an album I purchased back to 2001. Remember, I legally owned it. I had stopped with that track. The last track on AOI Bionics is Trying. And I thought it ended there, but through some miracle, iTunes managed to sneak in a track from their last album called And the Anonymous Nobody, and it's a track called Memory Of, and you shit, fell in love with that track, man. I fell in love with that motherfucking track. And hold on a second. The artist who sings on that song is, just to be consistent, I like when I make titles and it's like, oh, David Jolica, songwriter, David Jolica, Kevin Mercer, that's plug, that's Pasta News, Estelle Swarwe, hold on, that's not her stage name. Yeah, oh, she's a British rapper. Oh, she's a rapper? Oh, shit. Anyway, she's got a beautiful voice, too. Anyway, she sings on that song, and R&B, hip-hop, oh, hip-hop soul. I was looking for a hip-hop soul. It doesn't matter. My point is, I went from neo-soul to De La Soul, and that's been my inspiration for the past few days. That's really what I'm trying to get at. That's where I'm trying to get at with this title, all right? And shout out to De La Soul, who got their music out, and shout out to us fans who... we were tweeting all about it, man. Well, most of us was. Okay, I not as much as everyone else, but we were tweeting about how we were enjoying De La Soul's album and, like, listening to them like it's the first time. And it's been a beautiful journey, man. If I had to list shit that I'm grateful for, it would have been, you know, because I like to complain about life like a motherfucker. But every once in a while, I like to take a break to, like, to find something to be grateful for. And this time, this title symbolizes shit that I can tell you without a doubt that I'm definitely grateful is Neo Soul music and De La Soul. Hey, I kind of like this segment. All right, okay. All right, so let's jump into random thoughts and then, you know, like we usually do, random thoughts and news, or news and random thoughts, excuse me. Don't know why. Let me fix that title in here in my notes. News and random thoughts. And thoughts. I'm thinking of chicks. Yeah, I mean chicks. Anyway, yeah. News and random thoughts. And then the final segment is final thoughts or deeper thoughts. Again, I'm working on how to properly label Act 1 and Act 2 of this goddamn podcast. Well, technically it's Act 2 and Act 3, but whatever. All right, okay. Using random thoughts. Let's go. Bam, bam. All right. Okay. All right, gang. Okay. You know what? I have a shorter list of items on my news and random thoughts. Saw the movie Creed 3 and Chris Rock special. But before I get into that, I gotta play you a TikTok clip about title. The irony surrounding the outright use of the Matrix and the red pill. It's a clip that I found on TikTok. And it's been in my notes for a while. I've been meaning to share it with y'all. And because it's deep and it's powerful. And I think it's worth sharing. And it's by the author, the content creator, is Ruben Woodall. Woodall. Yeah, I was about to say Woodwall, but yeah, Woodall. Oh my God, hold on a second. Timer. There we go. Okay. I have to put a timer or else I'll yap until infinity, but here we go. Okay. Bang.
What's the problem with the red pill movement?
The problem is that the red pill community has completely misunderstood the meaning behind the Matrix. Right-wingers, conservatives, misogynists have co-opted pop culture references without even understanding what they mean. Taking the red pill or being red-pilled is obviously a reference to the movie The Matrix. Right. The main character has a choice between taking the blue pill, which means they accept the oppression of the machines, or taking the red pill and waking up to the truth that they're under this oppression. The alt-right then took taking the red pill to mean something completely different. To them, taking the red pill has mean waking up to the fact that society is run by progressives and that feminism in particular is holding men back from, I don't know, getting laid or something. So not only is this silly, but it completely goes against the message of the movie. The Matrix was made by two trans women, Lily and Lana Wachowski, which makes it so ironic that people use this movie to reference their own hatred towards LGBTQ people. One of the main themes of The Matrix is how people can explore and adopt new identities through a digital space. Practically every character rejects their given name and adopts a new gender-neutral one.
Zapar? Twitch? Life.
The hero goes from Thomas Anderson to Neo. The main villain of the movie insists on using Neo's socially acceptable given name, Mr. Anderson, which is essentially the same given.
Okay, so the main villain insists on calling the main character by his slave name. Here, keep going.
The name, Mr. Anderson, which is essentially the same as dead naming someone. The hero goes from Thomas Anderson to Neo. The main villain of the movie insists on using Neo's socially acceptable given name, Mr. Anderson, which is essentially the same as dead naming someone. Even their iconic wardrobe is androgynous. The Matrix explores the idea that we can transcend the limitations of our physical body and do impossible things with it. Originally, there was supposed to be a character called Switch that would switch genders depending on whether they were in the Matrix or the real world. Oh, wow. The red pill itself is even analogous to hormone therapy because in the 90s, estrogen was given to trans women through a little red pill. So it's so frustrating that right-wingers will reference media that they consider too liberal and too woke to promote their own hateful ideology and completely miss the point of that media in the first place. It's scary to me that conservatives, right-wingers, misogynists, whoever, will adopt popular imagery to make their more radical messaging more palatable and unassuming. They can package their very complicated and misguided messaging into something that seems very innocent precisely because it's so popular and recognizable. Everybody wants to imagine that they've taken the red pill and see the truth of things. It's a cool image from a cool movie, but if you don't look deeper into what people mean by being red-pilled, you could be being led to agree with some pretty awful ideas. So I think it's important for us to remember the original intent behind the memes, the references that people are using. And it's so ironic to me that people who want to hate and oppress our communities will use media created by and for us to do so. But maybe it's because their own ideas and values would never foster an environment where we could create something original, creative, or popular enough to reference.
What fascinates me about this explanation is how, is how we allow these morons to jump in these conversations and use terms that were never meant to, to misuse terms. It's like a fucked up version of appropriation. When the man was talking, it reminded me of how hip hop started out as one thing. I think about how while the rappers who used hip hop to describe their neighborhood, like The Message or gangster rap, it's like a poetry using to express their reality, their truth. And we kids from the suburbs took that shit as, yo, being in a gang is cool. Selling drugs is cool. Calling women bitches is cool. You know, this is a lifestyle that you want to be part of. And when you think about it, these guys weren't like on a message tip. They were just saying, this is, when I wake up in the morning, broke, these moments of desperation, I need to do this shit. You know what I mean? People thought that rappers, these gangster rappers, were trying to glorify street life. Okay, maybe there is a rapper who was doing that. You know, because you know it was selling records. But I sincerely believe most of them were like, hey, this is my lifestyle. I'm not talking about how Let me put it this way: it's about rapid. If one of them Germans, one of them Nazis who occupied the concentration camp, were allowed to let. You know, I'm sure there was a poet within the concentration camp who could express over a beat what it's like to be in a concentration camp. And the motherfucker ain't talking about how, yo, being in a concentration is dope. No, it's like, this is how I survive. You know, writing these pieces, it's like expressing sheer horror and in poetry. I'm losing you. My point is this: misunderstanding the intention of original art or what's the word I want to use? Not persuading. No. Fuck. I hate when I'm trying to use a word. Starts with the letter P. Oh, fuck. I'm find a verb here that I'm trying to use. You're trying to. It's at the tip of my tongue. Nah, it's not. Anyways, you take something beautiful and make it disgusting for your own purpose. The people who need to hear this shit, this message, ain't gonna hear it. They're just gonna be staying ignorant. Fuck it, man. I know the word big means this, but I'm gonna use that word to mean something else. You know, I know it, man. Fuck ignorance. This is what I'm gonna say. Yeah. So, sometimes I wonder if I should holler at these content creators to say, hey, I just used your content on my podcast that you know nothing about, and I probably has 2 listeners. But I just want you to know that I appreciate your shit. But anyways, okay, off topic. All right, let me tell you about last night. Last night, I had an interesting day. Let me just get to the fucking point instead of summarizing my day. I went to see the movie Creed with with a friend of mine. And I enjoyed it, man. I frequently enjoyed it. Shout out to, what's that nigga's name? Michael B. Jordan. I heard he was the director on this shit. And it was his first directing debut. But I honestly thought, man, I went in there thinking he was going to fuck it up, and he didn't fuck it up. And there was some great acting, but my favorite was Jonathan Majors, man. Like I said, I love seeing that dude in movies, especially when he's playing a tough guy. I love seeing that dude in movies, period. And and he played the fuck out of, what was his name in the movie again? He played that character very well. I won't say he played he played the villain in the, not really villain, but he played he had a role as the adversary. You know, there's probably a better word to use, like protagonist? Yeah, there's protagonist and then there's the antagonist, whatever. But he was Drago. He was a bit like Drago. He was a bit like... So in Rocky, you had Apollo. Well, he was a bit like Apollo in this shit. Now, I'm gonna be careful. I promise I'm not gonna spoil it. So that means I won't speak a lot about it. I won't spoil it. All I'm going to say, especially if you've seen the previews, it's a movie about a homeboy that he's got from his past. One of his friends comes up from his past and wants to be a boxer again. And there's a certain guilt. Our main Adonis is like driven by guilt because, his friend could have been. Basically, Adonis is living the life that his friend dreamed to have. And I got to tell you, that guilt is what I relate. I connected with that guilt. It's like I rode through the entire movie, like, I know what you mean, man. I know, except I would have handled the situation way differently from you, but I know what you're going through. I understand what you're going through. And, but, you know what's amazing about this movie? How this motherfucker would, this flick would have been short if this dude had a therapist to talk to. It's amazing how his inability to express what's bothering him is what allows this movie to exist. Like, there's a scene where his wife is like, what's bothering you? What's bothering you? And he's like, ain't shit bothering me. I'm okay, you know? And then he takes a swig of some liquor, you know what I mean? Because, like, a real man don't manifest their movie. And plus, this is a fucking movie, man. We need to get the fight scenes in this motherfucker. But I'm just saying, I was fascinated how this main character was dealing with this guilt and he had the inability of expressing it. I won't lie, a part of me felt like, well, I'm superior to this tough guy. You know, maybe I can't bench press like this dude, but I can express guilt with no difficulty. But it had me thinking about, every time there was an emotion I had difficulty expressing. Actually, let me get some names down, okay? So let me go Creed 3 and Creed 3. Let me get some character's name. There we go. I'm like a white person. Okay, Michael B. Jordan's character was cast. There we go. Adonis, Donnie. Right, okay. Tessa, Bianca Taylor. So her character, there's a scene where she's basically trying to get her husband, Adonis, to express his fucking feelings. And there's a scene where, oh, you know what? I feel like I'm, okay, this might be a little bit of a spoiler area. No, it's not spoiler, but it's more, there's a scene where he pretty much expresses, look, I can't do this express feeling shit like you do. It's so easy. And she says, boy, homeboy, that shit's not easy. I got shit to work through. And the reason I bring this up is because I connect to that character is me being in therapy. I find that there's feelings I've been able to express to my therapist. No problem. You know, we could, you know, by being able to express it, then we can work on it and confront these fucking feelings. But she's right. I might make it look easy, but that shit is still a journey. That shit, it's just maybe I've had more practice, but it's still a journey for me. It doesn't feel easy. I won't lie. There's certain feelings that are easy. Feelings that I couldn't express before that I can now. You know what I still struggle with? A feeling that I still struggle with is if I see a pretty girl, that hasn't happened in a long time, right? But if I see a pretty girl that I think that, a pretty woman that I'm attracted to, those feelings are still difficult for me to say, hey, I like you. I would like to put my penis in your vagina. You know what I mean? Or hey, I like you. I would like to get to know you. Oh, my God. On the Chris Rock special. I love it. On the Chris Rock special, he made a distinction. There's a joke he makes where he makes a distinction between a woman he'll hold hands with and a woman he'll lick their asshole to. Okay? The one he'll lick their assholes, that shit is like, it's pure physical. There's no attachment. But if I'm holding your hand, that's a challenge. Yeah. I still struggle with expressing to an object of desire, hey, you look like someone I would like to hold hands with. Or, hey, you look like someone that I would want to, okay, I'm not into licking butt. Maybe someday right now, but I'm just, you know, I'm not shitting on it. Hold on a second. I got to give it a little, do I not have this prepared? Do I really not have prepared? Yeah, I'm not shitting on licking butts. Tip your wait staff. Yeah. Yeah, but you know, like engage into sexual activity. It's still, wow. I just realized I'm talking about the movie Creed. Yeah, I think what got me the most is the main character's inability to express a feeling to someone else. And all I'm saying is there was a moment where I was feeling superior to this main character because I can express guilt, but there's still some feelings that I still struggle. There are still some things, some thoughts that I struggle to express, to decipher, to detect on my own and express it in front of another human being. That's all I'm getting at. That's really what I'm saying. That's what fascinated me the most about this feeling, about this movie. Oh, and the fight scenes. Holy shit. Yeah, they upped the technology on those fight scenes. But anyway, that's another, look, Creed, all I'm going to say is Creed 3 was dope. I went in there thinking it was going to suck because I'm like, how are you going to make, look, Creed 1 was good. Creed 2 was good. How the fuck? There's no way. Three times a try? No fucking way. He's going to do it again? It's kind of like, my favorite rap artist. Okay, the first album was dope. No way the second was gonna be dope. Oh my God, the second album's dope. Okay, the third album's gonna suck. I don't know. I guess I protect myself with negativity. I aim low. I'm always expecting disappointment. You know what I mean? But yeah, Creed 3 was not a disappointment. All right, let's get to the Chris Rock special. Actually, I'm going to keep this one short because I don't know, man. According to the internet, I don't know what to think. The one sentence I wrote Chris Rock special to express it because I was thinking a lot about it. I went from what? Chris Rock's got a special? Because Chris Rock is my favorite comedian. Influence. When people talk about my influence, Chris Rock is like top there. And then I went from, oh my God, he's got a special. I went from watching it, you know, there was times I laughed, there was times I didn't laugh. It wasn't his best special. Like, I didn't laugh the same way I laughed at his first special, but it is, but there's a growth in there. There wasn't a joke I'm like, oh, he shouldn't have made that joke. I'm like, okay, this is what I wrote down. I said, there were parts in his special where I laughed and there was parts where I didn't laugh, but there wasn't a part in his special that made me hate him as a comedian. I just saw a dude expressing his truth. Some people say that there was a joke he made about Meghan Markle. It's unfortunate, whatever. I'm not saying it's unfortunate, but the response to it, people took it as like, oh man, so he's got to get it from you and the royal family. It really makes me think about the concept of a joke. Like, does he mean it? Does he not mean it? Like, how much seriousness should you give to a comedian's opinion? You know what I mean? I'm really not trying to jump on the, oh man, this society is too soft and shit like that. No, at all. No, trust me. I am that guy who was tired of laughing at fucking people's jokes just so their sensitive ass won't be like, fuck, the world is too sensitive. I ain't allowed to say anything anymore. Nah, I'm not that guy. I'm the guy who sees the world through, again, Chris Rock. Chris Rock is one of my inspirations as a comedian, all right? So I'm picturing myself sharing my truth. And for some reason, you motherfuckers find it funny. For some reason, someone wants to give me a Netflix deal. For some fucking reason, it allows me to fly my parents to Paris. Some shit like that, right? All I do is share my truth. And then I share a truth that bothers people, that upsets people. Like, I can understand, you know, taking all that feedback and working from it as the comedian, but it's the motherfuckers like throwing, it's like, yo man, that's motherfucker, he disrespected the Messiah, we gotta stone him. It's that part. No one's gonna do that. I know it's not physical. It's just, I guess I'm saying some opinions were just mean. Granted, I could, you know, some people think the shit that he was saying were mean. Were they intentional? You know, I guess I'm at this is where I'm getting at the beginning where I said I don't know what to think, because a part of me when I'm close to saying I understand what these people mean, but then I'm like, well, then from Chris Rock's perspective, maybe he is a boomer, maybe he is an old dude who still struggled with understanding the world, like that joke he made about women have all the power. Okay, was that a joke? Or is that a statement? Like, it's equivalent to saying, you know, the earth is fucking flat. I mean, is that a joke? Is that a... I bet there's a nuance I'm missing in all this and all that. But I guess the only point that I'm making is, no, Chris Rock is not above the criticism. But I don't think some of the hateful shit that have been said about him, I don't think it was deserved. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at, man. He's just a comedian trying to make his paper, trying to live his life, or he is living his life, and he says some shit that some people didn't find funny. I think out of the people who bothered me the most are the people who are like mid-episodes or like expressing how I still haven't laughed, you know? And these motherfuckers are like, I feel like saying, okay, what would have made you laugh? You know, like, could you show me a list of comics that made you laugh? Like, maybe I'm going to blame the victim and you stepped into a comedy show that wasn't intended for you. Hold on. This is me adjusting my seat. All right. the pressures. I got to get a new seat because it keeps falling out. But yeah, maybe you stepped into a comedy club that wasn't meant for you. Look, all I'm saying is I experienced the comedy show exactly like any other comedy show. There was times I laughed, times I didn't laugh. But there was never a time where I was like, yo, fuck that nigga. Yeah, he did make, yeah, even the last joke about, oh, fuck. People are bringing up how, because he made a joke about how he watches, he watched Emancipation just to see Will Smith get whipped. Fuck, yo, you punch me, whether I deserved it or not. Fuck yeah, I want you to, man, you don't, okay, if my ex, if I'm dating a girl, if my girl was cheating on me, with a dude, okay. On the last episode, I joked about how Jonathan Majors, you know, if my girl came up to me and said, I don't have a girl, but I'm just saying, if I had a girl and she came up to me and says, I cheated on you with Jonathan Majors, half of me would be like, were there any pictures? And the other half would be like, I'm going to watch that movie where he gets his ass kicked. Fuck that nigga for life. I don't know. It's like, people took it way too, like the pro-black movement, I'm going to go quote-unquote pro-black movement. Motherfuckers try to make it into a whole, yo, Chris Rock disrespected black folks a la Candace Owens level. Fuck you, man. Back off. Like, it made me scared of being black. like we were so quick to, people are acting like he did some Candace Owens shit. Sure, he did some stupid shit, like letting white people call him the N-word on the camera. Yeah, that's kind of fucked up. But I mean, Chris Rock is like Trudeau level of disagreement. That's what I want to say. You know what I mean? I guess that's what I'm trying to say. People are reacting to Chris Rock like some motherfuckers react to Trudeau. I can fully understand not agreeing with him. I can understand even having a passionate disagreement with the motherfucker. But I draw the line at the fuck Trudeau flags, the fuck Chris Rock flag. Nah, man. Nah, or he's a sellout to our community. The motherfucker got punched on camera in front of white folks at the Oscar. Okay, whether he deserved it, I'm not trying to say he deserved it, because I believe Will Smith is like, yeah, I probably went out of line, but. Chris, yeah, Will Smith was probably saying, but that balding joke, come on, Chris. You know, because I know, like, Chris Rock making jokes. Okay, you know, really, but I don't hate Chris Rock. I don't hate the jokes, but you know who I do hate in this whole thing? White folks and their fucking opinions on this subject. Yeah, right on, nigger. That's right, man. Fuck them niggers who can't take a joke. Fuck that. You did the right. I hate those people. They're the ones ruining it. They're the ones who are making me look bad. They're the ones who, by defending Chris Rock, it sounds like I'm on their side. I fucking hate that shit. It's kind of, I used to have this joke about how, actually it's still a joke, I just haven't, I need to work it out. But the idea is, how I used to work, I had a boss, he was black, I had a manager who was black, and it was the first time in my life reporting to a black manager, and I was on a mission to make us look good as black folks. Only problem that I hadn't factored in was the fact that I wasn't going to like this dude was an asshole. When I say an asshole, I got to be careful. His management style didn't inspire me at all. It was an incompatible style. There was no growth in his, the way he managed it. And it happens, you know, you assume just because you're black that you'll get along. And sometimes it happens that you're not fucking compatible. That's where this whole joke, it's a joke about the fact that we were two black dudes who were incompatible for each other. And how I joked about how, like Chris Rock, how about, you know, me and the racist white dude, I made peace with my racist coworkers to get this dude fired, right? And the only thing I needed to worry about is him pulling the race card, because if he pulls the race card, it's going to backfire on me. When I say race card, I don't mean like illegitimately, but if he starts, if he turns this into, hey, I'm being attacked by white people, it's going to backfire on me, because I'm the one who's going to be on camera attacking a black man standing next to a white man with a Confederate flag saying, yeah, this nigga gotta get fired. You know what I mean? It's gonna backfire on me. I remember a friend of mine, he got jumped by one of his friends okay, that's a fucked up story. But I remember a friend of mine, he got attacked by some friends of his. By friends of his, oh, right, because he violated the bro code of sleeping with your homie's ex, right? It's a complicated story. And if you're listening to this podcast, no, I'm not talking about you. I'm making a point. I'm not going to say actual name, but the point is this. He was attacked by friends of his who were, you know, by friends of his, group of friends of his, and for doing something they believed, you know, they felt justified for it, right? But I remember how he wanted revenge. I'm perversing the story here, right? He wanted revenge, and I was sympathetic to revenge, and now he was really willing, even considering turning to the dark side to get that revenge. It's like, yeah, I'm going to hook up with some skinheads to get that motherfucker fucked up. You know what I mean? It's like, turning to the dark side to get revenge. I'm just saying, I'm sympathetic to a brother's desire to get revenge and being close to turning to the dark side. Going, having a situation where the enemy of my enemy is my motherfucking friend, even though that enemy is an enemy of mine too. I'm not mad at Chris Rock, man. I enjoyed his special, a comedy special. It wasn't the best. It wasn't the greatest. I'm not shitting, you know. It wasn't, but it was a comedian doing his thing. That's really what I saw. I didn't see someone trying to influence. You know, I'm going to stop there because I'm overthinking this shit. Yeah, I just saw a comedian doing his thing. I don't expect people to agree with me on that one. I'm just saying, yeah, I'm the one on the outside saying, does he deserve that hatred? Vitriol. Hey, I read books. Vitriol. Let me make sure I mix it. Vitriol. Now, you know what? Fuck you to everyone making fun of my lack of vocabulary, stomping on words, because they just hit me, man. I used to hang around a lot of English kids, and they made me feel stupid, just both black and white, right? I felt stupid around them because I always felt like I had limited vocabulary. Like, they knew words I didn't. I was constantly, what does that word mean? What does that word? And they were shocked that I didn't know it. And only to realize, it's only when I was talking to French people, I'm like, huh. If I focused my energy on one language, would my vocabulary match theirs? But yeah, man. So, I'm still cool. Okay, yeah. Where was I? Vitriol. Oh, there we go. V-I-T-R-I-O-L. Cruel and bitter criticism. There we go. Yes. Does Chris Rock deserve all this vitriol on the internet? That's really what I'm trying to get at. All right, this concludes news and final random thoughts. Yes, I did go overtime, but reminder to myself, you know, I'm my biggest critic right now, and I'm reminding myself that, you know what, fuck it, you'll do better next time. This is your podcast, and it's a podcast meant for your own growth. All right, gang, let's switch to final thoughts, deeper thoughts. You know what, I'm going to call, Act 3 final thoughts. Fuck it, I don't give a fuck. Why? Because I can. All right, here we go. Bam. Okay. I got two thoughts, and then we all cut class, and we all, you know, I let you go. Okay, the first one is, people, please, I've been meaning to comment on this one, right? I found it on this Instagram. The content creator, their name is Nick Pollard, the people pleaser. No, excuse me, the people displeaser, excuse me. Yeah, here we go. I guess he's an ex-people pleaser, and he goes out creating content for people who are still people pleaser, and I guess he's trying to quote-unquote cure them. And I'm going to play a clip, and then we'll talk. Here we go. On Instagram, start unmuted. No, of course not.
Break boundaries as rejection. That's because they view...
One more time.
You interpret boundaries as rejection. That's because they view confrontation as failure. If you're new here, I'm a former people pleaser and recovered alcoholic, and I help people overcome both. Rejection, just like confrontation, is just a part of living. And boundaries are a form of both. What you have to understand is boundaries are a rejection of a behavior, not of you. It has to do with your actions, not with your personality. And because you interpret this as a failure of person, you're missing the actual message. Setting boundaries with another person is done because you love them. And whether they're setting one with you or you're setting one with them, it's the highest form of honesty, which is the highest form of love. Hope this helps. People pleaser.
I should, you know, I'm not going to go rough on this. Not rough, sorry. You know, I'm not attacking the dude. I said shit even without explaining myself. Okay, so let me just get to the point. Maybe I'm the one who's feeling attacked by this shit, but I feel like saying people pleasers tend to interpret boundaries as rejection. It's like saying fat people like food. Fat people tend to see hunger as a bad thing, or alcoholics see thirst as a struggle. I feel like the message, although well-intended, doesn't address the core problem. Like, I feel like the target audience, the people who are okay, you know what? I'm reading the comment section and people are like feeling like they are helped by this message. So I will agree with that, right? My problem is the people who aren't people pleasers is the people who, I'm gonna make a separation. There are people out there who will listen to this and will use this as a way to preach to people who do suffer or who are people pleasers. Am I making sense? It's like they're gonna use, it's like using the Bible to stop someone for sinning, you know, like the sinner. That's why I'm triggered. It's less the message, it's the motherfuckers who this message is not intended for, or the people who are won't help the situation. Okay, what it reminded me of is growing up and being surrounded by quote unquote friends who are like, you know, oh, you need to stop letting people walk all over you. And then they'll do something, and then they'll walk all over me. When you push back, you know, when you try to push back against them, then they find a way to be like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. They don't use these, they don't say, I wasn't talking about me, but essentially they let you realize that, yeah, no, that doesn't apply to me. I get to wrench. What I'm saying is, people who struggle with being a people pleasers, they don't want to be that shit. They still struggle with what causes them to be a fucking people pleaser. Which I guess brings me to my last thought of today's episode. Is I just noticed this morning, today, where I was like, I had a thought where I'm realizing I feel the need. This is what this podcast is all about. Is life what you make it? Or is it what others make it? See, I was always told life is what you make it. But I realize I live life constantly trying to figure out what life is from other people. It's like I'm waiting for instruction. I'm constantly waiting for people to tell me this is it. Perfect example is I'm listening to, maybe I should start from, because this, so I'm just realizing this whole show, the themes that I, the topics all come up to this idea. So first one was Me, Myself, and I by the verse that I just read from Me, Myself, and I by De La Soul. And that came from, well, one, the reason I shared it is because it was the first track that I heard by De La Soul. But what's dope about it is how when you watch the video or listen to the song, it's them, I'm just trying to be myself. They created a new style, a new acceptable form of expression. Hip-hop started out as, I'm just, you know, something new. I'm just trying to be myself. Fuck it. I don't sing. I rap. I don't talk about love. I talk about being great, about my car, about, you know, having a good time, partying. Like, it became a new expression. That's what I'm trying to get, right? And then at some point, then it folded into, okay, in order to be a rapper, you need to talk about being great, talk about the, and De La Soul, Be Myself, and I say, yo, we are not like these other rappers. We are this. So I guess this is an example. De La Soul was an example with their first album of Life is What You, Hip Hop is What We Make It. We don't follow these trends. We are, I hate saying it. Yes, I fucking hate admitting this, but yes, I follow trends. Even though I make fun of people, not make fun of people, even though I, what am I trying to say? Do I attack? I'm against following trends. I notice that I follow trends. So Chris Rock special, I remember enjoying it. And then I made the mistake of going on Twitter and my timeline was filled with people who didn't like it. And what's worse is the more I read it, the more I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not supposed to enjoy this. So I guess I am not. Like, one person posted some shit about, there's a joke. I'm trying to remember what the joke Chris Rock made. And this says some shit like, if you're a black person and you laughed at that joke, I feel sorry for you. I'm like, go fuck yourself. Man, fuck you, man. I'm like, fuck. It reminds me of the days of, yeah, growing up Christian, man. There was always some asshole ready to tell you how, no, you are not among us. You are not like, you know, you can't call yourself Christians if you believe in sex before marriage. Oh, my favorite is black folks, you know. You can't call yourself black if you date white girl. Well, go fuck you, man. It's like, I'm trying to be black, but these gatekeepers won't. It's like I'm trying to, you know, and I'm trying to be one thing, but I'm realizing that who I need to be is me, myself, and I. The world can just go fuck themselves. I think you just need to adopt this philosophy. So I've gone through life being told life is what you make it. But I'm realizing I go through life telling myself life is what others make it. Part of being a part of this whole people pleaser is because you have that mindset that, no, I am not one of the people who are permitted to say or behave like life is what you make it. No, we are part of, we indoctrinated ourselves. We are brainwashed into living the reality of this life that, the reality that life is what other people make it. And the fault of that shit is parenting, man. Like, I guess my parents didn't know any better. I guess they went through life believing that, no, life is not what you make it. Life is what other people make it, especially other people like your pastor or other people like who speak louder than you. You know? I'm actually fascinated at people who go through life as life is what you make. I don't, like, life is what you make it. It's like that Jim Carrey quote is like, what do you think of people who don't like you? And what was the expression? What was his response? Something about how I show my butt so they could kiss my ass. I don't know. It's, I don't know. It's like, like, does Donald Trump go through life believing life is what you make it? Like, fuck it. I screw over my friends. I live life for myself. It's, this is definitely the final thought for this episode. I am struggling, going through life, trying to make sense of, it's not that I'm making sense of it. It's, I am not living it. I am still trying to figure out how to go through life believing, excuse me, let me back up. I am going through life. Oh man, I had the wording perfectly. Going through life as if life is what you make it. I can say that. I could tell you that to the blue in the face. But if you look at my actions, no. I go through life as a person who, as if life is what others tell them, others, as others make it. That's what I'm trying to say. Yes. Being a leader. They all tell you to be a leader, but I mean, if everyone's a leader, who's there to lead? This is all, yeah. I am not making a point. I am not trying to say right or wrong. I am just, there's a part in that Me, Myself, and I verse, right? And he said, you know, I'm going to read the explanation. It says something dope. Oh, shit, I had the verse to, yeah, okay, so let me just focus, B. There's a part where he says, and I have to read that shit for y'all. He goes, bear with me. What time is it? Oh, okay. Yo, I got fucking 7 minutes before I hit the 1 hour mark. Okay. Man, did I really not link this track? I am disappointed. There we go. Nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. Oh, fuck, I had the lyrics in front of me, and I don't know. Okay. Now I'm going to have to do this the lazy way. Not the lazy. Me, myself, and I. There it is. Boom. Me, myself, and I lyrics. I am really happy that you guys, needless to say, in order for you to be a listener of this show, you gotta have patience with your host, De La Soul. There we go. Fuck, all this to say. Okay. Now on the I'm laughing at myself. I'm entertained by my mistakes. Okay, there's a part in the song where he says, mirror, mirror on the wall, tell me, mirror, what is wrong? Can it be my De La clothes or is it just my De La soul? Okay, my favorite verse in that track, it's the next one. He goes, what I do ain't make believe. In other words, what I do is real. People say I sit and try, and I didn't understand what that meant. And I read the annotation, he says, and I'll read it instead of my, yeah, it goes, the art of poetry is a soulful activity. When you try to write poetry, often it comes out inorganic and manufactured. It is as if you were to tell yourself to stop thinking. It will be that concentration on the action that will lead to your demise. The way I interpret this is what they're saying is, people say I sit and try. So you're either trying to do poetry or you're doing poetry. You can't do both. Can't be either or. And part of this part of doing poetry is expressing yourself without interfering the thought process. You know what I mean? It's like being sincere. It's like expressing. Like sometimes I wish I can play an instrument or create music. And I could express myself that way. No, instead, my instruments are words that I barely understand because I struggle with the English language. And it's, I'm putting up my head, take what's in here at my head and transmit it through my mouth into this microphone onto this recording device as pure as I can. And that's what I mean when I'm saying I'm struggling with, on one end you got life is what you're making, and on the other end you have life is what others make it. I'd be lying to you if I said I want to be those people who behave like as if life is what they make it, because there's a blockage somewhere that says, no, you're not supposed to. No, that's forbidden. No, maybe others can live like that, but you? Nah, man, fuck that. Know your pace. Know your place. Please others. And it won't make any fucking sense for you to preach to me about how you need to be one of those people who make life as you make it, because it would just be met with defensiveness. I'm the one who's got to unlearn that. I'm the one who's got to, like, play with look at the code, the source code, and be like, okay, let me change that if statement into something else. Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. Yo, okay, you know what? Okay, this is my favorite part of my podcasting. It's ending an episode feeling like I said everything I needed to say. It's equivalent to, like, taking a shit. Dr. Melfi would say it's like similar to giving birth, but no, I'm with Tony Soprano, man, with Tony. Yeah, feels more like taking a shit. And with that said, this concludes today's episode. Holler at me on Twitter if you want to talk about what you just heard. At B Blizzak, you can pick either one. Either this one username is at B Blizzak, BBLIZAK. Kawhi Z. Do we say Z or Z here? J-Z. We say Z. Okay, Canada. Yeah, Z. J-Z. So, B-B-L-I-Z-A-K. Or Shut Up Podcast. I'm not going to tell you how to spell Shut Up Podcast, you know. And hey, you know what? Operation intro sound. I think what I'm going to do is, you know, I got ideas. And now I'm going to find an artist to replicate that idea. Before I didn't have the, usually I was coming to the art, I was looking for an artist to read my mind and figure out what I want. But now it looks like, yeah, I know what I want. And they're going to create it for me. That reminds me, man. Shout out to Roy Bennington, man. All right, because I was just remembering the process to creating the logo, and homeboy gave me all the power. He was just like, man, look, I'm just a microphone in this shit. I'm just gonna amplify what you're trying to say, and that's what ended up happening. All right, yeah. Okay, so what was I saying? Yeah, Shut Up Podcast is the for Twitter. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Yo, by the way, man, if you feel like sending donations, send them over, because I think I need a new recording board. Because I'm speaking to you, I feel like I'm speaking loud, but the fucking meters are like very low. Yeah, it's broken. Yeah, this motherfucker's broken. Wow. Okay, anyway, whatever, man. Shut Up Podcast needs a new, what do you call these things? Recorder. Recorder slash interface slash controller. Anyways, yeah. What was I saying? Yeah, Shut Up Podcast. The email website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Subscribe using the RSS feed on the website, or just go take a visit. Come on, push to take a visit. Point visit. Says it's in français. Whatever. Yeah. Take a visit Google or Apple Podcast. Hey, yo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Word. Word. I'm having fun, man. It's one of the few times I'm having fun. So, yeah, word. All right, peace.